You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome back to You Can't Say That. I'm Tanya Pinkins, and you're listening to my spotlight, The Red Pilling of America, with Susan Eichorn Young on You Can't Say That.
You is kind. You is smart. You is important. You is dead. Tanya Pinkins' horror film, Red Pill, brings African-American perspective to progressive movement.
We are a majority in this country. And we're going to win the election.
Do you know what the red pill is?
A red pill is someone who infiltrates a group and then destroys them from the inside. This place is spooky.
Some people like to live dangerously.
Cass, why are you so jumpy tonight?
You know what, guys? I'm gonna go back tomorrow.
Did you hear about the creature woman that attacked a father and son hunting down here?
I don't see the case. This place creeps me out.
I think we should call the sheriff's office.
The only people missing or dead are brown people.
They're after all of us.
What do we do, Amelia?
We die. But we take some of them with us.
I have not sung in forever. Want to play with me?
Let's play. Yeah. You want to sing a little bit?
I'm scared, Susan, but I'm going to risk it. Okay.
See, just the fact, you know what? You don't have to drop the armor, right? Okay. So do this from an acting perspective. Like, give yourself a motivation.
Okay.
Right?
What are you going to have me do?
So all I want you to do, oh, you're lucky I stayed at the piano so I can actually.
Am I lucky or am I not lucky?
I want you just to take your hum.
What hum?
Just a, if you think mum.
Mum.
Yeah. Now see, that's anchored in the speaking voice already. So all we do with the singing voice is extend the pitch. So if you just, I'm going to take you here, and we're just going to do 1, 2, 3, 2, 1, and then we're going to really so mum 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 mum, and let it live behind the warrior armor of you. Mm-hmm. Here. One more. Mm-hmm.
So you were kind and you took me to my place where I'm like so solid and anchored. Come, let's take me to the place where I start cracking. Take me to the Passaggio.
Okay. You want to go there? All right. So do a five, but stay in that hum. Yeah, stay in that hum. So now do a five. Trust yourself. Yeah. That's it. That's okay. So that's that spot, right?
That's that spot.
So
tell me what note it is.
B flat, B natural. Okay. Right? And then you're over it. So physiologically, what's happening is your voice is wanting to move into another resonance chamber. And the musculature simply needs to elasticize to allow for that stretch to happen.
So how does it do that?
Breath. Exhale. So now, this time, just do a triad, but I want you to use the SH. Think of the SH like a shea butter breath, nice and thick, and it'll settle in. Shum-mum. You're just going to come down. Shum-mum, shum-mum, shum-mum.
Shum-mum,
yeah.
Shum-mum.
Beautiful. Yeah, let that slide because that's the breath. One more. And then you just mix together that passaggio.
What if I don't have a shuh to get the breath in the song? Then I don't have that.
Then what you do is you practice this till the body recognizes the behavior, so it will find any onset, any consonant in a word that moves your air and says, oh, that is familiar. There is my familiar. My breath is my familiar.
Yeah, my breath is not my familiar.
But it will be.
It won't wait.
Before we're done, it will be.
My familiar. Do you still study?
Yes, I do.
Who's your teacher?
I study with a woman in Canada named Irena Velahashberg.
Okay.
I've worked with her for about 20 years now.
And what has changed in your voice over 20 years?
It has gotten richer. It's gotten much more grounded. She really, when I first went to her, I had some vocal trauma. And so she helped rebuild with me the top of my voice. I'd lost the top of the voice and has become one of my very best friends over all of this time. But she got me back into my breath in order to access the physical again.
But the breath makes you feel things and it's emotional. Make you, you know, you can feel that someone's going to see something really you don't want them to see or you don't want to feel right in this moment or something.
But what if the breath was the elasticity of safety that you could wrap yourself in like a beautiful piece of chiffon that nothing penetrates unless you say it's okay?
How would I ever get to that? I can't. That's a nice sentence. I don't see how.
Oh, I think you're closer to that than you. I think you're very close to that.
For me, the breath is it is the uncontrollable wind storm that could take you, you know, you could lose your mind. You could do anything. The breath could hit something in you and you literally don't know what it's going to be that's going to express.
But if you train with it and not against it, if you harness the power of that, it becomes the armor that you can wrap around yourself so you choose who gets through that and who does not.
I like the sound of it. You know, the Native Americans and the actually some of the witchy fairy people talk about the wind as a god and that we actually borrow from that God to actually animate ourselves, you know, that we are asking permission of this God all the time to even live.
Yes. Yes, yes. And you do that every day. I mean, you are breathing life into what you're creating right now with this movie.
That is true. It somehow feels safer.
Just, it has a different form.
It has a different
right?
form. And the form of song is naked. To me, singing is the most naked thing that I would ever do.
Yeah.
How did you lose your upper voice?
I was doing an opera and one of my kidneys began to fail, but I did not want to lose the opportunity, so I sang through it. And so the combination of being, you know, working with medication and doctors and in rehearsal, I just lost everything on the top of my voice because I was in so much pain I couldn't support, and the breath wouldn't move. So I was slamming my cords together with no airflow.
What is the connection between kidney, breath, voice?
Kidney is, there's a lot of subconscious energy in the kidneys, and a lot of fire.
Mm.
Yeah.
Did you save your kidney or did you have to?
No, I saved it. Okay. I've had issues with it over the years, but, you know, it just kind of rears up once in a while just to let me know that I might need to clear some of that fire again. But, yeah, we were able, and we weren't sure, you know, if we were able to even repair the voice at that point. And Irena just said, listen, I have no idea. Let's try. She said, but you aren't going to be singing for anybody for 6 months. So we worked twice a week for 6 months.
So I want to talk about something that might be hard for you, but like, you know, I mentioned to you before we came on that I had surgery in my throat last year and
right.
I put it off for 6 years, even though the condition I had, they said was terminal. But what they said is that the surgery could cost me my voice. And I was like, you know what, if I lose my voice, I'm gonna want to die anyway. So let me just risk dying before I'm gonna let you do some surgery that may. So what was it like for someone to tell you, you can't sing? I mean, that's your love and your livelihood. What was that?
That lit the fire. I said,
making you sick.
I said, oh, hell no. I am going to get this back. Mm. And that's what we did. So, you know, my Achilles heel and my best trait are that I'm very stubborn. You know, I was stubborn and pushed through when I shouldn't have. Mm. But then I said, no, this is not taking me out. Mm. You know?
Yeah, that's some fire.
I mean, and the same thing happened with, you know, about 9 years ago, Thomas and I were in a near fatal car accident. And, that was another one where I said, no, a 18-wheeler truck hit us and that is not taking me out.
Okay. Drop that in. 18, were there any fatalities?
No, thank goodness there were not.
What were the injuries to all of the people, the three of you?
Thomas and I were in one car and there was another couple in another car. I'm not sure what their injuries were. And I don't recall any of this. I have just bits and pieces. But I was, yeah. And I was out, like they had to airlift us to Morristown. So I was in a trauma unit and then moved to a rehab hospital and had to relearn how to walk. I broke the top three ribs off my sternum and singing saved my life. I know that sounds absolutely hokey, but when my spine surgeon came in, I broke basically everything on the right side of my body. So, and major head trauma. And so, you know, I am here and I am here. But he asked me, what do you do for a living? Because he said, most times when we see ribs off the sternum, because of the location of the lungs, they pierce the lung and you're gone. He said, your intercostals are so overdeveloped. Your intercostals just held your ribs in place. So he said, what do you do? And that was from singing. And he said, okay, that makes total sense. I figured either you're a singer or a swimmer, because those are the only two things that would develop the intercostals like that.
Intercostals are, but I'm gonna go look that up right now.
all these muscles between the ribs, right, just held everything together.
And what about Thomas?
Thank God he was fine. I mean, he had a concussion, lost a couple teeth, had a few stitches, but he was, you know, released after a week or a few days. I don't even know exactly. Thank goodness, because if the two of us had been like me, that would have been a mess.
How long were you in the hospital?
This happened mid-June, and I think I was out in August and home.
Were you the driver?
No, I was in the passenger seat. Yeah. Yeah.
And what about those ribs that came off? Do you not have them, or did they have to?
No, they fused them back in. Like, they literally just wrapped me up and let them fuse back.
So it automatically happens? The body does that?
The body can do that. So that was, you know, and then I had other breaks that had to be repaired and surgeries and all that kind of stuff. But
so you're like the bionic woman.
I have angels. I tell you, I do, for sure. Earthbound angels and angels throughout.
Okay. So we know at least two deaths in this life. She's got at least nine lives. She's a cat.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
For you coming that close to death, how did it change how you live?
There's a control thing right there. When your control is gone.
Someone's got a mic they need to mute. Nate, can you mute? No far. Can you mute so that Susan can speak?
Please? Yes, I'm sorry about that.
Okay.
It reveals that you're not as much in control as you think you are. And because I am an earth mama and I want to look after everybody, I couldn't even look after myself. Someone else had to. So it was a real reckoning with releasing that control and learning how to stay in the present moment.
Did you cry a lot?
I did and I didn't. It was an interesting time. I got very still. That's something I remember because I had no choice, literally and figuratively, you know. There was a stillness that came over me that was new, but recognizable at the same time. It was fascinating.
Were there any other insights that came to you at when you're getting a third chance?
Yeah, I think it was that being present, releasing that survive. I mean, I was surviving, but releasing that panic that so much we feel in our business too, of just surviving and what's going to come next and will there be work? And, you know, I couldn't go to the bathroom by myself. You know what I mean? Like all that other stuff didn't matter. My mantra every night as I fell asleep was, I am alive and I will be well. Mm. And I went to bed with that and I woke up with that. And I might have cried in between sometimes, but I don't actually remember crying a lot. Mm. It was just like everything just became very still, mm. You know?
How did your daughter...
She was a rock. And I can't even imagine when she got that phone call. She was with her new boyfriend at the time, who's now her husband, and he brought her right out to trauma. I was still in the emergency room, and unfortunately, she had to see me in that state. But she was incredible for all of us.
Wow. I think that those kind of experiences actually strengthen us. Like, I was present for births and deaths in my childhood growing up, and you know, so I feel like it's a privilege when you can be present with people as they're transitioning from
yes.
one to the other. It is an incredible gift that so few people get.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. It's true. And it's interesting, when my dad passed before this, one of the last things he said to me was, "Suze, where I'm going, I can look after you better." So it was in that moment of, because nobody thought, like, even the people that pulled us out of the car, you know, I ran into them, you know, years later, and they were just like, thought they'd seen a ghost, and said, we walked up to that car and said, there's not going to be anybody alive in that car. So again, angels watching over me.
Wait, I got to get that little detail. Some strangers stopped and pulled y'all out of the car?
No, some of the EMS people that, when they got to the car, yeah, they actually said to each other, being told this after the fact, right, that prepare yourself because there's not going to be anybody alive in that car.
Wow.
But we were.
And your dad, this is like one of the last things he said to you. Yeah. Do you feel him?
Yeah, every day.
You know, my mom died a couple of years ago, and I feel her more strongly as a positive presence now than ever when she was here.
Yeah. It's amazing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Necromancy. I was reading about necromancy. Are you familiar with a book called Ankara Gwyn?
No. I mean, I know the title, but I don't know yeah.
It's a book for you.
All right. I shall look at it.
And the angels and things like that. It's sort of, I don't know. I was reading it when I saw your picture online, and I was like, it's been such a pleasure to.
Oh, it's been an honor, an absolute honor.
Session offline, or we could schedule it right now. We could do something next week.
Yes, we can.
I wanna experience this. I know for me, one of the challenges, and I share my personal stuff with people because I think that a lot of times when people look at people who have what they dream of, or they imagine that it was easy or that it's wonderful or perfect or all good. And I believe what the Balinese believe, that life is a balance of both the good and the bad.
Mm-hmm.
You can maintain your equanimity in the both. That is as healthy as you can be. And for me, with the singing, it's such a vulnerability and risk for me, and such a ministry for me, that I just began to feel that when I sang in New York, it was definitely a throwing of pearls before swine, that it wasn't, people did not realize what it was, the risk of it for me to do it. And it was like, you know what, you got all these other people and you like them just as much. You can have that. This costs me too much.
Yes.
For me to do this. You know, the cost to me is too much.
Yeah. And I think when you recognize that too, it allows you to contain, you know? And I think in this time, you know, as artists and artists in the industry in whatever aspect, this is the change we need to make, recognizing that before things begin to open up. We can't wait till they open up to make those changes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I try to, you know, reflect with the singers in front of me always, that you are the change, and you can say no. You can create that reality in front of whoever the gatekeeper happens to be. And maybe in this time we need to all be that gatekeeper and release all that other, you know, before it starts to pick up again. It'll be too late.
Yes. Yes. I'm going to say that phenomenology is the thing that says that each and every one of us is creating our own reality. And in that sense, we do get to decide what that's going to be.
Yes.
Ooh, you've told me so many, you know, very personal things. I have this question because you shared, I don't know, I'm going to ask.
Ask me.
What is something that you thought was the worst thing that could happen to you, but now from the vantage point you have now, was one of the best things that ever happened to you?
Whew. That's a heavy one. In a more specific way, it might have been recognizing I was in a marriage that I should not have been in, and yet the best thing that came out of that was my daughter.
Ooh.
You know, that, I mean, it's like decisions lead to decisions. Mm-hmm. And so it is never, like you say, it's a balance. Because if you say, I wish I'd never done that, and yet, how would the trajectory have changed? Mm-hmm. What would not be there anymore, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so how do I learn from that? As opposed to, how do I work through those emotions of that time in order to release that, to see the good that has emerged from that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we can wish it all away and then what?
Yeah.
You know?
I have come to this place of blessing and thanking all of the people who I might have judged as being my obstacles or stones in my path, and all the people who said no to me. I bless and honor them that they were, you know, what sharpened me and prepared me for the next place I needed to go.
Yeah.
Might be hard to do in the past, I mean, in the present sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think we can change past, present, and future right in this moment. So if we can go back and bless all those places where we were cursing, I think we can change the trajectory of everything.
I agree 100%.
Oh, such a pleasure to meet you and get to know a little tiny bit.
And oh, it's been an honor, Tanya, truly.
I'm going to ask anybody if they had any questions they wanted to ask us before we wrap up the hour. Anybody want to ask anything? No questions? All right. Well, Susan, yeah, wait a minute. I was looking in the chat. Was somebody chatting something? I'm going to just open up the chat just to see if there was something in there. Thank you all for coming. And it's just been a blessing. I really look forward to getting to know you and working with you. I'm scared.
We will make sounds.
Oh, Susan, we will make sounds. Cry and scream and.
And it will be a safe place to do so.
Oh, I got to tell you this one little thing before we go. I studied with Dr. Lena McGlynn.
Mm.
Is infamous for being R. Kelly's voice coach, and famous for being Chaka Khan's
mm-hmm.
coach. Both of them, she worked with at Kenwood High School in Chicago. And when I went to study with her, I was like, Dr. McGlynn, I wanna sing like Chaka Khan. And she said, child, that's not a sound, that's a condition.
Mm.
Like, I want some of that condition.
Let's create the condition.
It's like, yes. So I want some condition.
You are a condition, Miss Tanya.
Please, I'm going to stand in agreement with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bless you and bless Thomas. I look forward to getting to know him as well. And thank you for joining us here.
Oh, it is my pleasure and honor. Thank you for asking me.
Thank you and all. Please follow us on Red Light. I'm hoping we will have it ready in a month. I think we're that close. A month. I've been listening to the sound design from Paul Sue. And tomorrow I'm going to hear the score with Tease Goal. And it's really, I see with my ears. So when the sound design came in, I began to go, oh, this has to move and this has to move, because I realize that even when I'm watching movies, I'm doing other things. And the sound tells me when I need to look at the screen that something's going to happen. Because most of the, you know, it's all filler. And I'm like, okay, sound. Oh, I need to pay attention now.
Thank you.
Bless you. Bless you all.
Bless you too.
Stay safe. Wear a mask. They save lives. Thank you.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.